بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله على سيدنا محمد وآله الطيبين الطاهرين. We continue our discussion today about Shafa'ah, and in particular we study lesson 60, which is Alhamdulillah the last lesson. We thank Allah for being able to start this book and to finish it, inshallah. So this lesson is about few questions or objections that may be raised about Shafa'ah. First, some verses of the Quran indicate that intercession or Shafa'ah would not be accepted from anyone. For example, verse 48 of Surah Baqarah, it says, وَاتَّقُوا يَوْمًا لَا تَجْزِي نَفْسٌ عَن نَفْسٍ شَيْئًا وَلَا يُقْبَلُ مِنْهَا شَفَاعَةٌ وَلَا يُؤْخَذُ مِنْهَا عَدْلٌ وَلَا هُمْ يُنصَرُونَ. Fear the day that no one would be able to help sufficiently another person. No shafa is accepted. No one can be taken as replacement. Okay, for example, you could say, please release me. My brother, you know, will remain with you, for example. Okay, no, my cousin, no. And they are not helped. So they say, this shows that there is no shafa. But the answer is, as we explained, that the Quranic verses have to be understood together. Al-Quran yufassiru ba'dahu ba'dah. Some verses of the Quran reject Shafa'ah. Some verses of the Quran clearly confirms Shafa'ah. You have to understand where Shafa'ah is appropriate, where is not. When Allah says Shafa'ah is not accepted, this is a kind of shafa'ah which is without any criteria. You think that you do something and then you can get away with it by shafa'ah. No, there's a system. There is a very wise system, justice. You cannot do all the mischief and then ask someone that you maybe, you know, bribe him or, you know, somehow force him to do shafa'ah for you. Question two, or objection two. If we accept shafa'ah, it is what the person is saying. He says that if we accept shafa'ah, it means that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is influenced by someone. So without shafa'ah, the judgment was not in favor of this person. Now with shafa'ah, Allah has changed the judgment. So it means that someone has influenced Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The answer is that this is not influencing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Like many other things, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's decision for us is based on existing factors. Okay? Sometimes the existing factors, when are put together, the overall balance is not in our favor. Okay? But then you bring a new factor. For example, sometimes without dua, you are not going to succeed. Because the situation, your work, I don't know, your experience, other people's activities, altogether, the situation is not in your favor. But with dua, it can change. So, can we say dua has influenced Allah? No. Dua has not influenced Allah. No one can influence Allah. Even Allah doesn't influence himself. Yeah? But the thing is that dua has changed the condition for you. Inshallah, you learn, when you learn philosophy, you learn this term that we have قابليات قابل and we have فاعليات فاعل. For example, if someone wants to teach you very advanced level of philosophy, we need two things. One is فاعليات فاعل, the one who is going to teach you philosophy at advanced level, he himself must be qualified, he must know فاعليات فاعل. But sometimes, although we have such qualified philosopher, he cannot teach. Why? Because there is no قابليات قابل. There is no acceptance here. قابل means to accept. Yeah? If you take a cup of water, receptacle. Yes, there is no reception. Yeah. If you take a cup of water under Niagara Fall, how much you can take? Very little. Yeah. Is it because Niagara Fall doesn't have enough water? No. There is no قابليات قابل. This cannot receive. There is no capacity or different factors. Okay? So, without Shafa'ah, the just judgment is not in your favor. With Shafa'ah, the just judgment is your favor. Especially if you remember that Shafa'ah is not arbitrary. You have done something good that now you can receive Shafa'ah. Like I told you, a student who has done everything, okay, I don't say he has done Mubayasa. Just I say he has done everything, but he still needs help. But why he receives that help? Because he has done everything that he could do. Okay? So, the problem of influencing God doesn't apply here. The same thing is sadaqah. Sadaqah can change. Yeah? Even, for example, a person who is supposed to die according to a not fixed deadline, according to suspended deadline. You know, أجل معلق. أجل معلق means it's not fixed. Okay? The one which is fixed, you cannot change it. But the one which is conditional, suspended. Without sadaqah, this person may die soon. With sadaqah, he can live longer. You remember the stories of, for example, Isa alayhi salam and that lady in the night of wedding. She was said that Jesus, you know, said that she is going to die, but she didn't die because she had paid sadaqah. Or for example, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with his companions, they saw a person going out of town to collect some wood and, you know, log. So Rasulullah said, he is going to die. He went back and he was okay. Then people were surprised. Rasulullah said, open your, you know, bag, you know, the parcel or something it was carrying. When they opened, there was a snake. Rasulullah said, what have you done? He said, I have paid sadaqah. This was actually to teach them that someone that was supposed to die, and Rasulullah said he's going to die, then he didn't die because of sadaqah. So does it mean that sadaqah has influenced Allah? No. This is just a new factor which has come into this scenario, and Allah's decision is based on the factors. Of course, even in eternity, Allah knew that what would be the final thing. So now you remember the difference between فاعليات فاعل and قابليات قابل. Okay? So the ability of the agent or doer to do something and the ability of the recipient to receive. Okay? So we need two things. We need good teachers and we need good learners. We need good leaders and we need good community to follow good leaders. Yeah? many times we like at least one side. Sometimes we like both, but at even one side, if it's missing, it's not working. Do you accept? Okay. Objection three. This is something maybe new for you, or maybe you have already thought about this. The question is, why these people do shafa for us? So you say, because they love us. Okay, why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala needs them to ask him to forgive us? Doesn't Allah love us more than them? If Allah loves me more than Prophet, so why Allah waits for the Prophet to come and do shafa? Okay? The answer is, first of all, who put love for us in the heart of the Prophet? It's Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he doesn't love us more than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But the thing is that this is a way first to honor the Prophet. Second, a way to help us. But the way that Allah is here trying to help us is by saying that Rasulullah has the right of shafa'ah, so that in dunya we try to love him, follow him, make a very close relation with him. And these things by themselves have impact on you. You know? You try to do something so that you can have a position, good position with Rasulullah. Yeah? Otherwise, you cannot expect Rasulullah to do shafa'ah. So Allah is doing many things together. He is honoring Rasulullah. He is also showing us that there is a role model that has ability to teach you, but also to do shafa'ah for you on the Day of Judgment, so that we go to him. Also, it's a humbleness that we say, I am in need of someone to help me. I am not feeling, you know, good enough that I myself ask Allah for example, my hajat or my forgiveness. I ask also Rasulullah to intercede for me. You know, when you feel you are really empty-handed, you look for a shafi. Yeah? Question four. Yes. Yes.
Towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but oh Allah.
Very good. Humbleness before Allah is very important, but it's not enough.
No, I mean,
Shaitan had humbleness before Allah. Yeah. But not humbleness before the Khalifatullah. Exactly. So you should have humbleness before Rasulullah, not just humbleness before Allah.
Yeah, I mean this gives extra humbleness.
Yes, exactly. Yes. Yes. So you are mu'ayyad. You are mu'ayyad. You know, in Hosea, when someone makes question, so we say, are you mu'ayyad? Means, are you supporting what I am saying, or you are questioning? So sometimes we make joke, you know, we first say, are you mu'ayyad, or you are challenging me? If you are... okay. Because sometimes, you know, the student makes effort to explain what the teacher said. Sometimes makes objection. And we appreciate both, of course. In Hosea, we encourage students to do questioning everything unless it's being recorded. Then we ask them to do it afterwards. Okay. Next question. If justice requires to punish, so why Allah is changing the situation? If justice required not to punish, so why in the first place this person was sentenced to go to hell? Okay? Of course, in barakats, when you have a burning question, you know, please ask me. Don't worry. You know, recording is not important. Just, I'm joking, so that you don't become tired. You can always ask questions if you think it's something that you must ask immediately. So, why Allah is changing? Either the first is not just, or the second, na'uzu billah. Of course, I am asking the question, you know, if someone takes just this part, you know, say Sheikh Shomali is saying Allah is not just, I'm just making the question. Okay. The answer is both are just. Without Shafa'ah, justice required that punishment. With Shafa'ah, like what? For example, sometimes we have a criminal. The judge says, according to your file, you have to go to prison for 20 years. Then he brings a document which shows that, for example, he has been very good person helping poor people, community work, you know. He brings a certificate that for 10 years he was doing good things. So judge says, now with this, I reduce your prison 5 years. So is this unjust? No. Was the first unjust? No. It's just a new document. It needs consideration. So without Shafa'ah, you deserve something. After Shafa'ah, you deserve something else. And both of them are just. Okay? The next question. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran says, if you follow shaitan, you will go to hell. You know, in surah, I don't know the number, we have this famous ayah, Enna ibadi laysa laka alayhim sultan illa man ittaba'aka min al-ghabin. No, it's not Baqarah. Ah, Hijr 43 and maybe 42. Must be two. وَإِنَّ جَهَنَّمَ لَمُوْعِدُهُمْ أَجْمَعِينَ. You know, when Shaitan said, I'm going to deceive them, Allah said, my servants, إِنَّ عِبَادِي, my servants, لَيْسَ لَكَ عَلَيْهِمْ سُلْطَانِ. You don't have control, authority, sovereignty over them. إِلَّا مَنِ اتَّبَعَكَ. Unless they follow you. Those that they follow you, of course, you can control them. Because they themselves follow you. مِنَ الْغَاوِينَ. Those who are misguided. So, can Shaitan force you to follow him? No. Even with religion, لا إكراه في الدين. When there is لا إكراه في الدين, so how can be لا إكراه في الزلال? There is no إكراه في الزلال. Okay, Shaitan cannot force you, but some people follow. But then it says, وَإِنَّ جَهَنَّمَ لَمَوْعِدُهُمْ أَجْمَعِينَ. And hell is the appointment for all of you. Means you and the people who follow you. So then Shafa'ah, according to this objection, contradicts this ayah, because this ayah is followers of Shaitan go to hell. The answer is that this does not apply to every person who has committed a sin. If there is a mu'min who has many good also actions but also has some sins, this mu'min can be excluded, especially when there is shafa'ah. Those that are certainly going to shaitan are the people who have become satanic. So followers in the sense of becoming helpers and allies of shaitan. Okay? So they follow shaitan in everything. Even they follow shaitan in misguiding people. Another thing is that they say, you know, they want to complicate this even more. They say, Allah says, these people are going to hell. And on the other hand, Allah says that the laws of Allah are not changing. لَن تَجِدَ لِسُنَّةِ اللَّهِ تَبْدِيلًا. The laws of Allah are not changing. They want to make it complicated. We say, what is the sunnah of Allah here? You are begging the question. The sunnah of Allah is not against shafa'at. The sunnah of Allah is that a mu'min with shafa'at can be forgiven. Sunnah of Allah includes shafa'ah as well. Objection 6. Yes. Yes.
So how can you answer that? I'm sorry. Can you explain to me first one thing?
So God knows everything.
God knows what is happening in the past.
Okay. So what's the question?
So you see, because God knows, you say like a criminal who has been sentenced for something and then he brings a deed for 5 years. Then now he goes to the judge and produce a deed where he says has been a good man all the time.
You know, yes, God knows everything, but this is, yes, and also this is a way for us to understand, you know, if you want to make it something formal, you know, like for example, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the judge who knows everything, but still the process can take stages. For example, first Allah says, who are the witnesses? So all the witnesses come and bear witness about this person. Then, after that, it is decided that this person is not good enough to go to heaven. So it will be said, but when I'm saying this is to formalize it. It doesn't need to happen like this, but it's to formalize it. That, okay, based on this so far, you are going to hell. Then shafa'ah comes. Then after shafa'ah, yeah. So for us may look something is changing, but it's not something changing for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's like, as I said, without sadaqah and after sadaqah. These are stages in analysis, not stages in time. Okay?
Yuck. So that is the laws of Allah.
Yes.
Right. So the system of the dunya is built on cause and effect.
Yeah.
So even though Allah knows that you can't change that system for us.
It goes a step by a step, yeah? In analysis. In analysis.
But you could say the same for the story of Iblis and the angels. Allah knew about Iblis.
Yeah.
Why did he ask?
Yeah. Yes. So it has to go, yes, stage by stage. Next question, question 6. Doesn't shafa'a make people dare to commit sin, you know? They're committing sins. You know, this is the objection. They say, when you say there is such a thing as shafa'a, some people take advantage and they say, okay, I do whatever I like, and then in the end, with shafa'ah, I will be right. The answer is, okay, if this is the problem, it applies even to tawbah. Because someone may say, doesn't tawbah make people careless? If they know that they can commit sin and be forgiven by tawbah, then they can become careless. But we say what? We say no, tawbah doesn't make people careless. Because tawbah is something that is not 100% guaranteed. Who said that if you commit a sin, you will have the tawfiq of doing tawbah? Yeah, maybe you cannot do tawbah. Maybe you cannot do sincere tawbah. So there's no guarantee. So no one should think because there is tawbah, then I can commit sin. Actually, this is a sign that you cannot hope for tawbah if you are an insistent person on committing sins. The question is, if we say to people that there is such a thing as shafa'ah and your sins can be forgiven through shafa'ah, they may become careless. You know? careless means they dare a lot to.
That would be based on your intention, because obviously if you know that, okay, I'll get shifa. The whole intention is then wrong, isn't it?
Yes. So what we say is that it's like Tawbah. No Muslim, maybe some people question Shafa'ah, you know, like some, unfortunately, some Muslims. But Tawbah, no one denies Tawbah. If this problem is a real problem, it applies also to Tawbah. Because everything, sins, even shirk, can be forgiven by Tawbah. So, does principle of Tawbah make people careless? If it does, it's due to their own misunderstanding. I accept that some people unfortunately misuse Tawbah. They say we commit sins and we do Tawbah. Yes, some people also misuse Shafa'ah. We accept. But this is their problem. It's not the problem of Shafa'ah or Tawbah. Like Tawbah? Yes. So, no one should rely on Shafa'ah, as we explained already. Okay? You know like what? Like, for example, if a football team, okay, plans winning the game based on extra minutes. What a good example, yeah. Or you plan coming to the class based on teacher coming late. Or maybe teacher comes on time. So these are the things that you cannot plan. Okay? You should plan everything perfectly. But we know that there is a chance that you may not be able to achieve. So, you know, like the person, for example, that says, okay, for passing the exam, I need 60. So I plan to get 60, not 61. Just 60. Okay, so if you plan to get 60, you may not even get 50, you know, 40. Yeah? You should plan at getting 100, 90. So that maybe you take either 90 or at least you take 60. Okay? So, we have so many problems that we don't even notice. Keep Shafa'ah for those problems that you don't notice. You know, we commit sometimes many sins, you know, we harm people, you know, we do zulm, even sometimes not knowing. So for those things that you know and understand, don't rely on Shafa'ah. Yeah? Yes. Shafa'ah is not for Barzakh.
I know, but what I'm saying is in Barzakh,
you will suffer?
You will suffer.
Yeah. Yeah. So, some people in dunya are forgiven. Okay? Some people are forgiven in dunya. Why? For example, they have done tawbah and they were pious. They are forgiven even before they die. Or, for example, they have had lots of suffering and they had patience and sabr. Some people are forgiven by the pain of death. They have such a painful death, like, for example, illness at the end or things like this, that they are forgiven. Or, for example, they are burnt. Okay? They are forgiven. Or maybe they are killed unjustly. Some people in Barzakh, they go to difficulties and then they are forgiven. Some people on the Day of Judgment, they go through the mawaqif and all the difficulties of mawaqif and are forgiven. But there are people who are not forgiven, and then they are sentenced to go to hell. Shafa comes and rescues them. So Allama Tabatabai in Al-Mizan says that Shafa is a kind of release. It means that the person is already sentenced and maybe put or is in taken to the hell or is put in the hell, and Shafa comes and releases this person. Yes. So if you want to say if someone is killed, so the sins of the victim are transferred to the murderer. Yeah. I'm not sure it would be 100% like this, but for sure, the one who kills an innocent person, for sure, he would be. And the Quran says, "Man qatala mu'minan muta'ammidan fajaza'uhu jahannam." Even maybe without being in need of taking the sins of that person, if someone kills a mu'min deliberately, he is going to be put in hell. Of course, killing any innocent person is bad, but especially killing a mu'min is receiving this punishment. Yes. Yes. This sense of shafa'a. Because there is another sense, in a very broad sense, that, for example, maybe a person, for example, was doing something good and there is a help coming to him. But this sense that someone is released from hell and is going to heaven, this is for mu'min, because someone who is not mu'min cannot go to heaven. Okay, let me finish this because the time is over. Then after that we can. Number 7. This is the last one. The objection is that shafa'a means someone else is involved in your destiny, in your fate situation. And they say this contradicts the ayah which says لَيْسَ لِلْإِنسَانِ إِلَّا مَا سَعَى. Only you would have the result of your efforts. Or لَا تَزِرُ وَازِرَةٌ وَزِرَ أُخْرَى. So everyone should be responsible and carry the burden by himself. Shafa'a seems to contradict this. This is what the objection is saying. And the answer is no. There's no contradiction. Every person is responsible for he is doing. But sometimes I have done things completely myself. Sometimes I have done something, but in a kind of maybe collaboration. Or, you know, I started something. For example, if you have a child that does istighfar for you after you die, okay? You cannot say this contradicts laysa lil-insan illa ma sa'a. This is a child. I have trained him, okay? Or Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with his generosity may give me a benefit from this child, or from my students I can benefit. Or for example, you make a sadaqah jariyah, you make a mosque, a hospital, a school, a bridge, okay? Then even after you die, you benefit. People go there and, you know, learn or do ibadah, you benefit. This doesn't contradict laysa lil-insan ma sa'a. When it comes to shafa'a, who qualifies you to receive shafa'a? You have to do something to qualify yourself, yeah? As we said, Allah must be pleased with you. if in my life I have followed Rasulullah, then the result of my action is shafa'a. Of course, when I say it's a result of my action, not in the sense that it's only my action, but I'm saying that I have done something to qualify. You know, like for example, you make investment. You make investment, but then you will gain your capital and you will gain extra. You have made some profit. Yeah? So, if in dunya you have been following Rasulullah, it's an investment. Yes? People were following celebrities. We followed Rasulullah. Okay. We invested here. They have invested there. Now they can go to see if they have won anything. We, alhamdulillah, have achieved a lot. So this doesn't contradict laysa lil-insan illa ma sa'a. Is it clear? Okay. So, alhamdulillah, lesson 60 finished. And in these three semesters, so alhamdulillah, we finished theological instructions. So I think 35 sessions. So some day we had two sessions, but altogether it's 35 weeks. So, inshallah, from next semester, we start Babe Hadi Ash, which is from next semester. Babe Hadi Ash. Babe Hadi Ash. This is a very good textbook on Kalam, classic Kalam, by Allama Yahli. The text is from Allama Yahli. And the commentary is by Fazil Miqdad. So two of our ulamas, you know, centuries back. So this is a way to introduce to you the science of Kalam, also to read something in Arabic. It will be also a review, because some of the subjects are common. And inshallah, then after that, we go to more advanced books of Kalam. So I hope, inshallah, you have benefited from this course. Before it gets too long, do review, do, you know, I don't say other things. Do everything that you know that you have to do, so that inshallah you absorb. Ad-darsu harfun wa takraru alfun. You take one lesson and you repeat it 1,000 times. Okay? Inshallah. Babe Hadi Ash is in Arabic, but the English translation is there. It's done in the 19th century. There's English translation, and you can get it from the office. And inshallah, maybe in one semester we can finish it, but we are planning to see, you know, how many sessions we need, because we want to finish it. Maybe one session a week or two sessions a week, but inshallah we'll finish it. وآخر دعوانا أن الحمد لله رب العالمين.